Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the risen Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Moses has a problem when he encounters God at the burning bush, that is. You may remember that although Moses was a Hebrew, he grew up in Pharaoh's household. And he has been on the run now for a number of years because, in outrage, he murdered an Egyptian who was beating one of his fellow Hebrews and then fled into the desert in fear of Pharaoh's wrath, which is just where we pick up today's story. Moses is now living in Midian, just beyond the borders of Egypt and out of Pharaoh's grasp, raising a family and working for his father-in-law. In today's reading from Exodus, he's out tending his father-in-law's sheep when he encounters a burning bush that no matter how much it burns, is not consumed. And when he goes over to see what's going on, he is addressed by the God of his ancestors, who announces that he has seen the misery of his people and plans to rescue the Israelites, and so tells Moses to go back to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of slavery, which should be simply fantabulous news, except for one thing. Moses does not want to go back to Egypt, not even a little bit. And so Moses has a problem. He tries to resolve it first through a modest refusal. "Who am I," Moses asks humbly, "that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" It doesn't work, as God promises to go with him. So then Moses tries something else, and it's really quite clever, saying, "Now, if I come to the Israelites and I say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" Now, there is more going on here than meets the eye. In the ancient world, you see, names were incredibly important. Far from merely identifying a person, names in the biblical world reveal one's essential and enduring character. And so to know a person's name is to have a certain power over them, to have a particular hold on them, for no matter what he or she says or does, you can imply, "Hey, you can't get away with that. I know you." And so when Moses asks what God's name is, he's actually making kind of a power play, looking for a little leverage, trying to get a hold on God. And God, well, God will have none of it. "What's your name?" Moses asks, and God replies, "I am who I am." And that Hebrew verb, Yahweh, is to this day God's name, considered so holy that devout Jews will not say it out loud. "I am who I am." Or given that that Hebrew verb, Yahweh, actually has a little bit of a future tense to it, we might read it as, "I will be whoever I will be." In this sense, it is a statement of absolute freedom. God is telling Moses that he can't box him in, can't define him, can't limit him. "I will be who I will be." How do you like them apples, Moses? But with this name, God is also telling Moses that you can't really understand God unless you're willing to follow God. You can't discover who God is, in other words, while comfortably sitting in your armchair, or by reading a book of theology, or by tending your father-in-law's sheep. You can't even get to know God really by showing up for worship, or singing in the choir, or even preaching an All Saints Sunday sermon. The only way you can really get to know who God is to follow God, to get in the game, to go where God sends you and see what happens. "What's your name, God?" Moses asks, and God answers, "I will be who I will be," or more to the point, "Why don't you come along and see?" Well, Moses is not wild about those apples, and so he makes a few more excuses, but God doesn't care. And eventually, Moses goes back to Egypt, and after plagues and problems and conflicts and a dramatic nighttime escape and flight across the desert and journey through parted waters of the Red Sea, Moses eventually makes it back to here, Mount Sinai in Midian, just where it all began. And when he's back, he bursts out into song, singing a song extolling the virtues of God. And each time he sings God's name, he uses that verb, Yahweh, I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I will sing to I am, Moses begins. The one who throws horse and rider into the sea, the one who comes as a mighty warrior to rescue his people. I am, Moses continues, the one who overthrew Pharaoh's army and redeemed the people of Israel out of love. I am, whose arm is strong and whose love is steadfast, who has brought his people out of Egypt in order to put them in a new land. All this Yahweh, I am, has done, and Yahweh, I am, will be his name. Moses learned, you see, that you know who God is by what God does, which is something that seems really important to remember on All Saints Sunday. You see, we tend to think of a saint as someone who is, well, just a whole lot better than most of us. Someone who has done more or endured more or given more or suffered more than the average person. Someone who is at the very least very, 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 very nice. But that's not actually all that biblical. Our word saint has its roots in the word sanctus, which is also the root of our word sanctified. And to be sanctified is not to be innately better than other things, but rather to be set apart for a purpose. More specifically, it means to be set apart to do the work of God. That's what makes something holy. Not that it's better than everything else, but that God intends to use it to do something good, which is what Moses is. God has chosen him, set him aside, called him to lead his people out of slavery, even though he doesn't think he can. And that, well, that is what you are too. Yes, you also have been set aside, called by God to do something that matters. Martin Luther, whose Reformation we celebrated last week, believed that in holy baptism, God called each of us holy, called each of us saints, and set us aside for good work, which means that you too, all of us here, are saints. And if you're not feeling particularly comfortable with that designation, I get it. Neither am I. On any given day, I am way more confident about my shortcomings than accomplishments. And at times, I feel very far from the person I believe God wants me to become. And if you've ever felt like that too, maybe it wouldn't hurt to remember Moses. You know, the guy who tried to do everything he could think of to get out of doing what God wanted. The guy who made excuses, tried to trick God, and who, by the way, was a murderer. And yet God used him to accomplish great things. Because at the end of the day, we are saints not because of what we do, but because of what God has done, redeemed us and called us beloved and holy for Christ's sake. And it's ultimately by watching what God has done in and through Jesus that we know just who God is for us. And so on this All Saints Sunday, we do two important things. First, we take time to remember those saints who have died in the last year, those people who were part of our family of faith and have now moved into the nearer presence of God. Some of them really were extraordinarily good people, and some of them not so much. Most somewhere in between. And yet God loved each of them, named each of them a saint, called each of them at baptism, accompanied each one of them throughout their lives, and now has redeemed each of them and brought them home. They have learned most fully who God is by what God does. Love, save, bless, and redeem each and all of us through Christ. The second thing we do is also important, and that is to remind ourselves that God has called us too, called us saints and set us apart for good work. We remember, that is, that God is not done loving, saving, blessing, and redeeming the world yet, and that God plans to use us to include us in that good work. And that, well, that is a darn good thing. Because right now, this world needs some saints. Lots of them. Not people who are perfect, not people who are just a little better than everyone else, but people who have heard God's call. People who know that God loves us, all of us, and are determined to share that love with everyone. People who believe that God wants the best for all of God's children and who are willing to roll up their sleeves and work for that. This is the work we've been called to as God's saints. We can be about it in any number of ways, small, large, and everything in between. We can, for instance, vote with conscience and conviction this Tuesday. We can volunteer where there is need. We can give generously to worthy causes. We can take time to listen. We can befriend someone who doesn't seem like they have a friend. We can stand up for someone who's being put down. The list goes on. It does not have to be heroic. It just needs to be faithful. That is, responding as you are able to the needs of someone around you, because you know God loves you, and you know God loves them. In the end, you see, it's not just Moses who has a problem. God has one too, actually lots of them, simply because there are so many of God's children who are in need. And you, already sanctified and set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be a saint, you are God's answer. So what are you waiting for? It is time to get in the game. God is already out in front of us, inviting us to come along, promising that as we follow God, we will do more, be more, become more than we'd ever imagined. Thanks be to God. Amen.